If Jesus were to perform his miracles today, he would be fined and maybe put into jail by the FDA for his first sign, as they are called in the Gospel of John, for turning water into wine at the wedding at Cana without an alcohol permit. By the EPA for killing fig trees. Remember that episode when he cursed the fig tree and it died? By the AMA for practicing medicine without a license. By the FDA again for feeding 5,000 people or more without following proper food safety requirements. Jesus' fourth sign in the Gospel of John. And finally, by the health department for opening the grave of Lazarus, his seventh and last sign. For five Sundays, we are going to take a break from listening to the Gospel of Mark. Instead, we are going to be hearing from chapter 6 of the Gospel of John, one chapter of the Bible for five Sundays beginning today. The 69 verses of chapter 6 of the Gospel of John are all about how Jesus is the bread of life. Scholars call the whole chapter the Bread of Life Discourse. This weekend's beginning passage is about Jesus feeding a large crowd of people with so little, something I did a few weeks ago. In case you don't know, all the priests of the Dot City Diocese meet almost every month in what are called our deanery meetings. We come together once a month. There's a social time, then we pray, and then we eat. So at the previous deanery meeting, we had one on Thursday this last week. At the one before that, I hosted it in my small, relatively small apartment in Hayes for 10 priests. I was responsible for feeding 10 priests. And so I called Gela's, the German restaurant in Hayes, I'm guessing a lot of you have been there, to cater the meal. And it was all set. And so on Wednesday, before that Thursday, I went to visit my aunt on the west side of Hayes, and I left about 11:30, and she asked me, "What are you doing for lunch?" And I said, "Well, I'll just see what I find as I drive back to my apartment." And she said, "Well, you'll have to stop by Shirley's." She said, "That's a small German restaurant by the Little Dillons in Hayes on Hall Street." And I said, "I've never been there." So I stopped at Shirley's. I had lunch. And as I'm driving away, Gela's, the restaurant, calls me and says, "Father Reggie, we can't cater the meal to you. This is the day before the deanery meeting." I was in the state of shock, like, what am I going to do now? So I remembered seeing a catering sign on the window of Shirley's, and I flipped around and made it back just before they closed and ordered another meal, and it was absolutely delicious. It was a miracle. It was a sign. I thought, I can't believe that everything worked out. We can make a lot of applications from John 6 to our lives. We too are called to feed others. And the old Latin phrase is quod non habat, non dabat. What you don't have, you can't give. Sometimes we too think we don't have enough time, enough energy or resources. But with God, there is always enough of everything. And I found that out that Wednesday, for sure. One of the most important applications that we can make is that we are fundamentally hungry for God. It's the way God made us. God made us hungry and thirsty, especially for him. All of our other hungers for affirmation, for affection and love, for meaning, are indicative of our hunger for God. We struggle with addictions of various sorts because we are having a hard time really finding God, mostly because we're looking in the wrong places. So we substitute something else: food, drugs, inappropriate sexual encounters, etc. What else makes us check the refrigerator even when we are not really hungry? What else leads us to drink more than we should? It's the absence of God in our life. What else tempts us to look at stuff we shouldn't look at? In conclusion, I have a suggestion that will help Mass be more meaningful and nourishing for you, especially as we are about to conclude our year of consecrating on Eucharist. Here's my suggestion. I'll say it 3 times so you get it. Go over the Sunday scriptures before you get here. You can find them online. You can borrow a book somewhere or order monthly publications that provide the scriptures. You can find them everywhere. Let me say it a second time. Go over the Sunday scriptures before you come here. Go over the Sunday scriptures. The more you understand and appreciate them, the more you will feel nourished when you leave here. I find it interesting, very interesting. I looked this up this last week. There are 55 songs in the Breaking Bread songbook that you use here at the cathedral about communion. 55 songs that the music ministers can choose from for communion and even the beginning or the conclusion of Mass, but only 5 about the Bible. Only 5 songs about the scriptures, the Word of God. No wonder too many Catholics don't participate in Sunday Eucharist. They don't get enough out of the first half of the Mass, the one we're in right now, the Liturgy of the Word, especially if the homily isn't that good. Try preparing for the peak of the week. This is the peak of the week, everybody. This is our best hour to be together of the whole week by taking a close look at the scriptures that will be proclaimed on Sunday. There is so much help on the internet. You can find the readings everywhere, and you can find commentaries everywhere. It's so available to help you know about the readings when you come and not just listen to them for the first time. It's just like preparing for your meals in your own home. The more you put into preparation, the more you will enjoy the meal, especially this great meal. Better than my own mother's cooking. Better than any meal you have this weekend on Dot City Days. I guarantee it. I guarantee it for your whole life. It's a lifetime guarantee. And you don't often find lifetime guarantees.